Wish to greet each one in the name of Jesus. Bible school. Missionaries. We talk and sing of the call. We want to think about that a little this morning. The call. Go ye therefore into all nations. Title of the message this morning would be Purge the Vessel for Good Use. Purge the Vessel for Good Use. Understand that Brother Louis will be preaching this morning on the heart of a missionary, on the call and the fervor and whatever he brings us along the lines of the heart of a missionary. But to precede that, ahead of a call or a moving to go be a missionary, whether it be at home or abroad, I want to look at the thought of preparing ourselves so we can go. Preparing ourselves so we can go. We've probably all heard the term, come as you are. And yes, we come to God, we come for forgiveness to Jesus Christ just as we are. But to proceed from that point on, we don't go just as we are. We need a cleansing, we need a preparation, we need dedication, and we need to understand what our work is and how that's best done. So spiritually, we would need to prepare ourselves before we would endeavor to help others. And I want to underline the fact that missionary means so much more than crossing the ocean. Our home communities are a mission field. Wherever we live, we are to be involved with sharing Christ. And so, what I share this morning is not about preparing to go there. Yes, it is about that. But it's about being prepared to help a soul right now, wherever you are, at any time the opportunity arises. In the Great Commission, we have the words that we've all heard many times, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And we've heard the follow-up of that, to observe all things. And I guess this morning, thank you, in order to teach others to observe the all things, I want to draw attention to the fact that, first of all, we need to be a recipient of that and a follower of the all things before we endeavor to teach someone else the all things. So I want to put the burden back on us this morning. Am I the kind of person that can help someone else? If they simply read my life and don't listen to my words, will it help someone else? And I think that's where it all needs to begin. Jesus said it so clearly, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. If indeed I am not walking with Christ as a good example in my daily life, how will I ever be a missionary? How will I ever be a missionary? Where is your heart? Where is your heart in relation to submission? Where is your heart in relation to the doctrines of the Bible? Where is your heart as you walk and practice the teachings of the New Testament? Sometimes the thought is that it's good for a young person to go to the mission field for a while to help them straighten out, to help them see themselves. There's a bit of truth to that. But if the troubled go to help the troubled, what will the end result be? God calls you to a careful life of concentration here and now so you can help in your home community, as well as over there, if the Lord would so will. But we cannot proceed to be a teacher and an instructor and an example if we are not a good godly example. And that starts right now. I know we have some deer hunters here with us this morning. And unless you're from the extreme southern states where dogs are used to chase deer, a dog that chases deer is an extreme abomination to anybody from the north who's hunting deer. Well, it happens. And I believe oftentimes those are probably dogs that the intention is that they are coon dogs or coyote dogs, not deer dogs. And yet it's so hard when a dog starts chasing deer to break them of the habit. And the owners really don't want them to do that. It's not just the deer hunters that are disturbed. If the man's out coon hunting, and I can attest to this, and the dog is off to go chasing deer, it ruins the whole night. The whole purpose of the evening is defeated. Nobody catches the deer, and the coons aren't caught either. Fruitless night of stumping around in the cold and dark with nothing to show. Well, just consider this. If a man had 3 or 4 dogs that were deer chasers, and he was trying to break them of that habit, what is the first thing he should do? Go borrow a dog from the neighbor who also chases deer and bring him over to my pack, and maybe we can train him together. How's that? Should we send someone out to the mission field who has deep needs themselves to try and be an example to someone else? First, throw the beam out of your own eye so you can see clearly to help someone else. Before Jesus gave the Great Commission, he also said, "Hypocrites, you cross the sea, you go from land to land to make a convert, and you turn him into a twofold child of hell, worse than yourselves." The church on the mission field is facing the very same issues that your church faces at home. There are young people there that are struggling. Maybe it's with sometimes ungodly music. I'm going to use that as an example. Maybe it's submission in other areas. Maybe it's a struggle with non-resistance. Maybe it's a struggle with attitudes. Maybe it's a struggle with language. And as a beginning missionary church, the primary teachers are those that came from, we'll say America, because that's where we're from. Now just picture this. They hear the instructions. They are part of the church. And yet they're struggling, like a lot of youth here. But as they struggle, they are being instructed. And here comes a youth from America. Here comes a youth that has experience. He's been in the church. Maybe he grew up there. And lo and behold, he brings with him his ungodly music, his bad language, and his bad attitude. What are we expecting that youth to teach the others? And when the youth over there struggling sees this, what does he think? Physician, heal yourself. We go to the mission field with ideas of converts, and teaching, and success, and building the church. But we have to be so careful that we do not discourage rather than encourage others to walk the walk. If I cannot model kindness, love, an open door, hospitality. How will I teach others to do the same? How will others feel the love of God in me if it's not felt and seen in my own life? And it's not just for youth. It's for all of us. Here at home and everywhere, can they see in me Jesus Christ? Your friends right now, your own youth group at home, what do they see in you? Someone to follow? Or someone that desperately needs our prayers? We all desperately need prayers. But be the one that's right there in the forefront to do the right thing. And then you'll be prepared to go out there if the calling comes to help others. So that when you arrive, you will be a blessing. A blessing. It takes a long time to build something, but it doesn't take very long to just smash it down. The other day we were parked in town waiting for someone, and here was a building that had stood for many years. And I'm sure it took a lot of care and attention to build it. It was designed. It had rooms. I believe it had brick on the outside. It was used as an office building right on the main stretch of Farmington for many, many years. But the day that we were sitting there was its last day. There was a huge track hoe there with a huge boom and bucket on. And with one bite after the next, he just tore it all down. They're cleaning it away. The hours and hours it took to build that place. The care, the precision, the planning, the wiring, the heating system, finishing off the inside to be useful. And this cold, uncaring machine just tore it to shreds, hauled it away as rubble. But our church building can go the same way. Prayerful carefulness, people dedicated hour after hour, day after day, year after year to build the church. And yet, someone coming in carelessly can ruin convictions. Especially in the heart of the unstable, who have questions themselves. Some of the doctrinal questions are best left to the church to explain to others if we don't understand them ourselves. But an everyday careful walk with a good attitude is not mistaken for anything other than what it is. And always, always a good example. You know, as a young person goes out on the mission field, depending on what the work is, but we're not looking for them to have carefully prepared doctrinal messages for the people. We're not necessarily asking them to be leading a Bible study every week. It might come to that. It might involve that occasionally, a Sunday school class. But really, what is really needed there is just a good, solid example of Bible faithfulness and Christian courtesy to simply love and reach out and show a calm walk with the Lord. So if we don't have that, is it too blunt to say, stay home? Find the Lord first and then lead others to Him. Getting saved is where it all begins. But the Christian life is so much more than that beginning when we say, I will. Just like a marriage is so much more than that first day when we say, I do. I do what? I promise to be faithful and to walk forward from here. And that's just like the Christian life. I promise to start today, be cleansed, and walk with the Lord. And if we're not doing that, we cannot help others. On the mission field, there's just lots of room for clashes and disagreements. After all, we grew up in one culture and we know how to do things. We do it the American way, or we do it the Mennonite way, or we just always did it this way, and we think it's perfectly normal and absolutely good and the best way to do it, even on little things that have nothing to do with the Bible. Even in material things, how do you plant the garden? How do we build a little shed? How do we pour concrete? These are all things that just come up in the mission field. And we come in there doing it our way. We don't know any other way. Well, we learn when we observe how others do things. And they probably have a different way to do all those things. So rather than young and old trying to instruct them in better ways of doing these physical things, which they have also done all their life, it's time for us to learn and observe from them. But as they see us willing to learn from them, then they can be ready to learn from us. And it's not so important how you pour concrete, but it is so important how you follow the Lord. What is my attitude? They will see it. But if I have already antagonized them with constant petty arguments on what's best, this and that, and cultural differences, why are they ready to drop the argument and listen carefully when we speak of spiritual things? But I want to underline, it's not so much the teaching that is important, but it's the actions. It's just the everyday actions that they can read in your life and really feel, where are you? Where are you? In Ezra 7:10, a verse here that blesses my heart, just one verse, if you don't want to turn there, I'll read it for you. It says, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. But just look at the order of the words. He prepared his heart to seek, first of all, so he understands, and to do it. Knowing and then doing. And to teach. The teaching comes after we have learned, after we have practiced, and then we're prepared to teach. And that's what my entire message is this morning. It's the entire thing that I want you to take from this. Learn, do, and then go teach. First we learn, and then we make it real, and then others will see simply by our example as well as our teaching. If we get that mixed up, we will be the blind leading the blind, and both will fall into the ditch. Luke 10:30, we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm going to read through that. Luke 10:30, you can turn to that. Question was proposed, who's my neighbor? And this is the lengthy answer that Jesus had. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? I want to paraphrase. I'm going to change the story a little bit this morning. A young person went out on the mission field. And there he found one who was wounded by sin, laying by the side of the road, and others had failed to help him. And he saw him. And there was some compassion for him. But as he stood there and conversed with him, what was he supposed to do? He carried the same kind of wounds in himself. He had not healed himself. There was no oil and wine to pour in. There was no fix for these wounds of sin. He hadn't found the remedy himself. So he stood and he looked at the man in the ditch. He had no beast to carry him. And in other words, he had no strength to take him where he could find further help. And I want to say that further help, the inn, I would like to call the church. He wasn't there himself and didn't have a good enough of a reputation there himself and had nothing within himself to convey this person to that place. Indeed, he wasn't there himself. So in the end, what could he do? He can lay down in the ditch with the man and I guess we can suffer together. No help for either one. The man that came and helped was prepared to help. Number one, he was not a wounded person himself. He may have been, but he is now healed. And he has with him what is necessary for healing. He knows the word. He knows the promises. He knows who does the healing. And in the strength of love, he can help him to the inn, where there are others to help him, the safety of 4 walls. I want to say the safety of the church, where further healing can take place. But if we haven't been there ourselves, how do we help that man, that lady, that girl in the ditch by the road? If we are as wounded as them and have not found healing, what are we doing? Jesus had a lot to say about this subject. If you offend one of these little ones, what's the rest of it? It were better for you that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the depths of the sea. Bad example. Leading others astray. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Paul comes across the thought too. Oh, you Christians that aren't really there. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Paul is pleading to the same kind of people that I'm trying to refer to this morning. At a time when you should be teachers, you still need someone to teach you the first principles of God. And I'm not saying I think that about you this morning. I'm just saying let's turn the spotlight into each one of our own hearts. Is that what I am? Are these words of Paul applicable to my life? Or have I been taught? And am I ready to teach others? That's the call of every missionary. Go, teach. Just like Ezra. Learn, do, and then teach. To balance all that, I want to say, don't think that you can't do anything for the Lord until you're perfect. None of us has attained to the perfection that Jesus Christ displayed. Paul wasn't perfect, but he was powerful. All of Christ's followers since then haven't been perfect, but they do need to be submitted, and they do need to be obedient, and they do need to walk the walk and then help others. So don't be discouraged that you can't help another. Just let God cleanse you, and then be that example. Be that example. There's work to do. First, we need cleanliness of spirit and holiness of life. A cleanliness of spirit. Love, submit, get your attitudes right, and then a holiness of life that follows that. The Old Testament in Psalm 25:4 puts it this way, and then in the New Testament it repeats the very same thought. The Old Testament says something about take away the dross from the silver, and then we'll have a vessel that's fit for the designer. Take out that stuff that's wrong, so we have pure silver left, and then we have a beautiful vessel that pleases the one who made it, and it is ready for use. Ready for use. 2 Timothy 2:21, the very same thought. Purge himself, that you would be a vessel to honor, prepared for every good use. So much work to do. So many people that need, first of all, a good example. Second of all, clear, simple gospel teaching out of a pure vessel. I'm not talking about cleansing the outside, and inwardly we're just what we are, but look good to show them how. First, just be right from inside out. And the example part will take care of itself. It's not about looking good, it's about being good. Be right. And then you don't have to fake anything. Just be good. Be right. And then let it flow out in a normal, natural way. What's inside will show on the outside. May it be said of you, as it was said of Paul, he is a chosen vessel to bear my name. A chosen vessel to bear my name. I believe every one of us is a chosen vessel. I believe every one of us is one that God wants to use. Maybe someday over there, wherever, but right now, in your very own home, your very own church, your very own youth group, and those on the outside of the Christian faith that you meet with every day. First of all, they want to see it, and then they might have time to listen to it. But that always comes second. First, they want to see it. Heard a story once of someone that moved into a new neighborhood, and they went to meet the neighbors. And I guess the neighbor actually said, well, first of all, before we want to listen to what you have to say, we want to see how you live. We want to see what you're like. Probably most neighbors won't be blunt enough to tell you that, but it's all wrapped up in their thinking. Who are these people? What are they like? So for everyone we meet, words are empty if there's no life behind it. Whether that's in Romania, whether that's in Kenya, or whether that's in Haiti, or whether that's right here in Missouri or your home state. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that thou hast heard, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So first of all, there's a hearing. There's a committing to others. Why are they able? Well, they were faithful. And then they're able to teach others also. we do want to leave it on a positive note. It sounded more like scolding than instructing, maybe. But I need to apply those principles to myself every day. What am I really like inside? And will that ruin the work I'm trying to do? Will God be pleased if I am uncleansed and yet trying to help others? Helping the others isn't wrong, but getting cleansed first is of ultimate importance. Number one, if we're going to be successful. And number two, if we're simply going to be right with God. Going somewhere can be a real eye-opener. And I encourage you, youth, to consider that. And I think we'll hear more about that this evening. I don't really want to get into that subject of going and where can we go and what can we do. It is a real eye-opener. It is a real blessing. And as we go, we can learn so much spiritually as well as otherwise. And you know, sometimes we go to people and they can teach us. We go to a foreign place and we run into someone who has had very little teaching, and yet their pure, open honestness has words of wisdom that can help us. So the teacher can become the taught. And as we see truth modeled in new young Christians, it's a beautiful thing of strengthening our own life. So it works both ways. We go to teach, but we also go to learn. And it works that way in your life at home. Others around you are teaching by their good example, and it's time for us to learn. Open yourself up. Absorb all the good you see in other people. Look for the good. Make it part of your life too. And then you can pass it on. So it's not just about teaching. It's not just about getting right so we can teach. It's all about learning, continuing to learn as we walk along, even learning from those we have taught. For the Spirit speaks in different ways. The Spirit leads in different ways. The Spirit can bring about such interesting and pure things out of people who don't have a lot of Christian experience. But they're open, and they can pick up some things that maybe we're missing here and there. So it's not just about teaching. It's about learning also. May the Lord help us as we endeavor to learn so we can teach, first of all by example, and then also by the words that we speak. And with the Holy Spirit as a guide, you can be very successful in sharing your entire life to others. The Lord help you in that.